This season of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is proudly brought to you by Sheet Music Plus.
Every time I give a piece of advice, and I have an actual sheet in front of me, and they have a pen, and every time, and we have it make a point system. So every time I give a piece of advice, they get a point. And every time I give them feedback, I get a point. And whoever wins gets the chocolate at the end. You know? Oh, so nice. You could do the same for you. Every time I say good, the student gets a point.
Gets a point. I like it.
Welcome to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, the place where teachers from around the world meet to share innovative ideas about music education. Listen and learn as we help you motivate your students, grow your income, expand your studio, and become a more creative piano teacher.
G'day everyone, it's Tim Topham here. Welcome back to Season 3, 2018 of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. You're listening to episode number 134, and a very special welcome to you if you're an Inner Circle Piano Teaching Community member. The Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is your home for inspiration, ideas, business, and teaching strategies to help support your teaching and grow your studio. And remember that, of course, the simplest way to listen to these podcasts is via my piano teaching app. You can grab that from either of the app stores by just searching for Tim Topham, and then you'll be able to listen in as you walk the dog, take out the bins, cook food, or do whatever it is you do around the house. In today's episode, we're diving into the topic of professional development for piano teachers, kind of like what you're doing right now by listening to this show. We'll be talking about the changing landscape of teacher training and exploring how to get help if you're interested in completing a diploma provided by one of the exam boards. Today's show notes and full transcript and all our links are now available at timtopham.com/episode134. My guests today are the directors and co-founders of The Curious Piano Teachers, an online company that provides teaching and learning resources for piano teachers. Together, they have over 50 years of piano teaching experience and for the last 10 years have specialized in piano teacher training. Dr. Sally Cathcart was awarded a PhD from the Institute of Education, University College London in 2013, where she conducted the first comprehensive study of UK piano teachers. She is a principal tutor on the piano teachers course and is a consultant for the ABRSM and the Voices Foundation. Sally is also the founder of the Oxford Piano Group, where pianists come together to meet and share experiences. My second guest is Sharon Mark Teggett. She achieved a Masters of Music Education with distinction in 2007. After working also on the piano teacher's course as a principal tutor, she established Evoco, a music education organisation in Northern Ireland that specialises in piano teacher training. Since 2012, Sharon has delivered associate and licentiate teaching diploma courses to groups of piano teachers. Welcome to the show, Sally and Sharon. Particularly at 6 a.m. in the morning, you guys rock.
Well, it's a lovely, bright, sunny morning over here in where I am. I don't know where Sharon is, so it certainly helps.
It's a bit cloudier in Ireland, but no, hey, we're getting a good early start to the day, Tim. Sounds good.
Well, it's a little bit chilly over here. Nothing like England or Ireland gets, but it's our winter, so I'm kind of rugging up as much as I can. Now, look, it was delightful to obviously meet you guys finally at Music Expo in London earlier this year, as you're both doing just such great things for piano teachers around the world. So it's been really good to connect with you and finally get you on the podcast. I've wanted to do this for so long, and I've been really bad at organizing it, but we've got there now. So firstly, how did you guys come to be working together?
Okay, I think I'll go with this one. Really fascinating, actually. Sally and I, first of all, met back in 2003 at the University of Reading, where I was a student. And so Sally was my master's supervisor, and that's how we first of all met. Uh-huh. And then kind of fast forward after I'd finished my master's, and we worked together on the piano teacher's course at the Purcell School for a couple of years as a principal tutor. And then I got married and I set up Evoco, which again was basically an organization that was training piano teachers in Northern Ireland. And I remember it so well. Sally came over and she was doing a workshop for me. And I think we had missed the connection since the kind of master's piano teacher's course. I know I certainly had. And At that point, it was kind of having these ideas of what can we do online. And so, as you may have seen, Tim, and the stuff that we send out, it all started in a little coffee shop in a place called Newcastle, which is where the mountains of Mourne sweep down to the sea just off the Irish coast. And in a little coffee shop there, and we got chatting, and that was kind of essentially where the piano, the Curious Piano Teachers was the whole idea. I mean, not all of the hard work happened there, I can say that. But that's where, that's kind of how it all came about. So yeah, an interesting story.
On hard work, as a fellow membership site owner, I know just how hard you guys are working. We all work really, really hard. But it comes across in the passion and the videos that you do and all that kind of stuff. Sally, did Sharon get the story right?
Yep. No, she's just about right on that one.
I must say I didn't realize, Sharon, that you'd been at the piano teachers course, and that's how you officially you met initially, and
yeah.
Been to the Purcell School this year. I know exactly. I could picture exactly what you were doing.
Yeah.
Yep. And of course, that was with Lucinda Mackworth Young, who I know has also been on your podcast, and I think Graham's also been on with you, Tim. So Graham Fitch, etc. But Sharon was a tutor with us for. Two or three years, weren't you?
I would go to say that Lucinda was the one who really actually spurred me to get out and into working with teachers. I would go to say, I mean, she was the one who I worked, probably because I was just at that stage, I had finished as a student. And I think they wanted a student perspective. And that was when the piano teacher's course was at that stage then moving to the Purcell School, and everything was changing and a year was taken to just kind of recreate the curriculum. And I was invited on as kind of someone with a student's perspective. And at the end of that year, Lucinda said, no, I think you should come on and just do this. And it was such, I mean, it was as far in at the deep end as you could imagine. But it's just been such a journey, and you know, the journey continues. It's fabulous.
Yeah, we all love Lucinda. She's so good. Yeah, so good. Yeah. What were you going to say, Sally?
I was just going to say, and as you know, Tim, because you spent that evening or 2 days there with us back in, when was it, February, wasn't it? And down the pub, you know, I think it's a very special course, actually. I think the residential nature of it, bringing people together, I certainly think I am, you know, I wouldn't be the teacher I am if it wasn't for the piano teachers course and all the fabulous people that I've come in contact, both teachers who come on the course and the lecturers on the course. So thank you to the piano teachers course.
Yeah, absolutely. And happy to put a plug in for those that course. Yep. And we'll pop a link in the show notes too.
Fantastic, because enrollment is open.
Very good. It's very unique too. As you say, I don't know of any piano teacher's course that's residential in that same way, and there's something about that community that builds when you stay overnight with people and go to the pub, as you say. I think it's great. So now you guys call yourselves the Curious Piano Teachers. How did this moniker come about?
Well, I think that's my responsibility, really, because what Sharon didn't say about our little story is that when I went over to Newcastle, I was just coming to the end of my PhD, so I decided in 2009 to do a PhD. Just because I could, as you do. I looked at UK piano teachers, and I was trying to find out some information because, as you know, it's really hard. We're all individual teachers. We all, you know, teach in our studio, and it's very hard to find out who's out there and what their attitudes are. So I did this PhD on all this, and as it was coming to the end in 2013, I thought, okay, I've got all this fabulous information. How do I share it with people? I should write a blog. And actually, I think the name Curious came out of something that Sharon had done with her Evoca. And I'm sure she used her Curious Elephant somewhere. Didn't you, Sharon?
Yeah, it was in my pop-up.
Yeah, just the word, Curious, you know. And when I was trying to think of a name for my blog, I thought, yeah, I like this word, Curious. I think I'm going to be the Curious Piano Teacher. So that's what I set my blog up as. I wrote a blog for a couple of years as the Curious Piano Teacher. So when I went over and we had this seminal conversation, with Sharon, we then formed the company, and we weren't going to be the Curious Piano Teachers. We were going to be something completely different and very boring,
which we're so glad we didn't go with, because it wouldn't have been clear at all.
Can you share with us what it was?
It was going to be Clarify.
Right.
Okay. You know, we spent 2 days thinking about that, you know, and that's what we came up with. And then we kind of worked with that, you know, and it's still around as our working title, you know.
Right.
We see each other in Facebook on Clarifa. But, you know, sort of 4 or 5 months down the line of developing, I said to Sharon one day, I said, you know, we can't be clarified. We've got to be the Curious Piano Teachers.
Yeah, the idea was that we were going to be kind of clarifying things for piano teachers, making things more clear. We just then realized as a title, though, it was going to muddy the waters completely.
Yeah, it sounds like some kind of acne cream or something. I'm not sure. I think it works. So well done.
We're glad we didn't use it.
Absolutely.
Now, you're obviously both very experienced piano teachers, presenters, you know, the works. But can you give us a little peek into a week in the life or a day in the life of how you spend your time these days? How do you split it up and how much teaching are you still doing? Sharon, maybe you can go first.
Yeah. I mean, yes, teaching is a very vital part of what we do. We do have our own private studios. We work in those. And I think it's, for us, it's a very, very vital part of what we do because it's the experiences that we draw on that. It's almost like, it's the same way like scientists are kind of in their little grotto or whatever they call them. And we are...
I think they're called labs. They're
called labs.
Rather, that's bringing up Father Christmas and everything like that, isn't it? But no, this whole idea of us being piano teachers in our studios, and it's where we get to explore ideas. Again, obviously what Sally and I do is take the research, which is something that I find in doing my master's research was something that I became quite almost quite shocked about. It was like there is so much amazing research out there, but so little of it actually filters down in practice into piano lessons. And I think one of the reasons I was finding was that it was kind of, it was staying as some very high level thing. And it was just, you know, I could see how difficult it was to take it into a practical element into piano studios. And so I guess that's really what we do at Curious. It's research based, but then we present it in a very, very practical way.
So that's why it's important for us to keep teaching, isn't it, really?
Yes. Because you kind of need to find a way of how to make it very practical and accessible.
Yeah.
So yes, that's a big part of what we do. I mean, last night I was speaking to our graphic designer, Una. I was interviewing her because our current Curiosity Box, which is again what we call our monthly bundles that go out to members of the community, and our current box is called How to Stand Out from the Crowd. You know, basically it's about a marketing makeover and how piano teachers can do that with their own websites. And so that was what I was doing last night. I was having an interview with Una. I mean, I must say that there's a pile of accounts sitting just to my left. So that's another feature of what I'm doing. You know, responding to messages. It's kind of, I guess I'm doing quite a lot of all those kind of behind the scenes things as well. Whereas Sally, if I pass over to you.
Yes, I'm out and about a bit more, I think, than Sharon is really. Like Sharon, I teach, and actually that's my passion of the week. It's been my passion of my life, really, is teaching the piano, because I think it's such an honour and privilege, and it's where things really go, you know. But I also do lots of other things that I'm quite passionate about and that feed in, I think. So I work for something called the Voices Foundation, so over here in the UK. So tomorrow, for example, I'm visiting 2 primary schools in London near Ladbroke Grove, actually very close to Grenfell Tower. I don't know whether you heard about the fire that we had over here. So it's 2 of the schools that are affected by that. And I'm going in, I'm working with the class teachers to help them develop some musicianship skills so that they can actually teach music in a very basic level to their class. So I do that quite regularly, and that's something I do tomorrow. Thursday this week, for example, I'm going off to Casio headquarters and doing some filming with Casio. Goodness knows what will happen there. Last week I was in Carmarthen. I was examining for ABRSM because I'm also an examiner. And I have some other ABRSM projects on the go as well. And I'm trying to write a book as well. So that's another thing. And then And then next week I'm over with Sharon. So, you know, we see each other sort of fairly regularly, once every 2 or 3 months. And next week's one of those weeks. So.
Block of planning.
That's a planning block of time. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Which is a lot of fun. And we have lots of coffee and cake.
Yes. I would
a really
only...
big.
It's so vital.
knowing you guys and what you do at conferences, I would only imagine. I don't know how you guys aren't the size of houses. So I wanted to chat today about professional development because you've got this great diploma course that you have aligned with the ABRSM syllabus, and I'd like to find out a bit more about that. But how do you feel the landscape for PD, professional development, has changed for piano teachers over the last few years? Because I think it's a bit different now than it would have been maybe even 10 years ago.
I absolutely is, Tim, and I'm just going to go back to my PhD again, because one of the questions I asked was about professional development and the problems that people came up with. You know, I said, what are the issues preventing you from getting your professional development? And it was distance, money and time. They Right. couldn't travel, they hadn't got enough money, and they didn't have the time that they could spare to go and do it. And I think, you know, today with the internet and with online services like yourself and like us and Facebook groups, and I know, you know, we can talk about all this, but I think it's just exploded. People who are connected on the internet are coming out of their individual little teaching studios a bit and seeing there is a big world. There are other people who have exactly the same problems as they do. So I think it has changed quite a lot. I think there's a lot more stuff available for people.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And certainly I think Facebook has had a big impact on that, hasn't it? People are far less feeling isolated because with one click, bang, you can have a conversation with people.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. And I think if you are a Facebook user, then, you know, you can almost ask any question as long as you're, you know, brave enough to ask it, let's say.
Right, yeah, and depending on the group, you know, you'll...
Depending on the group,
depending on the answer you get. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like you find in your inner circle, you know, in our community, people can literally ask any question because they know it's a really safe place to do so and they won't get shot down, you know?
Yeah. Some of the stuff you see on Facebook groups is really, it's sad. It's just tragic.
It is sad,
Because those people are just trying to do their best.
The other thing just to kind of quickly mention is that when we meet members, we know that another thing that, you know, people who kind of don't necessarily comment in groups, but they're clearly reading a lot of the comments as well. So it's not to say they're actually actively involved in the posts, but they're getting help and support by just being there and reading the comments.
That's right. So what are some of your favourite topics to write, blog, present, do Facebook Lives about at the moment? What do you think is really critical for teachers?
Well, I think something that we've both been involved in quite a lot since we actually set up Curious Piano Teachers, that we've had as an ongoing theme, and actually it was our theme in June, is this idea of giving feedback in lessons. So how do you respond to a pupil? You know, here we are, we have 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever. The pupil comes in, plays something, you know, what do you say to that pupil? And the immediate response is to tend to want to give advice. And advice isn't always the best way forward. In fact, it's rarely the best way forward, but it's our kind of default. Mm. So we've been looking at this whole idea of how you can give advice, what questions you can ask instead, and how to give feedback rather than have your advice monster, as we call it, how to tame your advice monster. So that's been a lot of fun that we've had, hasn't it, Sharon?
Yeah, it's been, I mean, looking at the whole topic, we started out the 1st December, so December 2015, we looked at it for the first, and then we came back to it in June 2016. We came back to it in June 2017, and we're here again. And Sally and I did have a conversation to say, you know, have we exhausted this? We dug into it, and kind of after a 90-minute conversation, we just thought, oh gosh, there is just so much more in this. Mm-hmm. So it's something that, again, we realize how much of a struggle it can be in lessons, because when we video our own lessons, you know, that's Sally and I, we realize, you know, how well and alive our advice monster can be. And where it is, I mean, essentially when we're giving too much advice in lessons, it's that thing of, you know, typically there's a 30-minute lesson. Well, between lessons, there's 10,000 and 50 minutes. So if we're giving too much advice in lessons, the problem is that our students are going home and they're needing to practice without us over their shoulder. So if we're giving them too much help and too much advice, the problem is, are they knowing what to do? And that really is, that's the problem. And it's making sure that we're giving them feedback and we're giving them support in ways that they can be independent learners. And I mean, the other really fascinating thing is, again, understanding the different types of questions. And it's that thing that unless you know about what the different types of questions are, you don't know where you are with lessons. Mm-hmm. So we've broken it down into 7-8 different categories. And where, you know, you've got your, for example, your skinny questions, which are basically your closed questions, you know, the sort of questions that students get to just answer yes or no to. And that kind of goes then right to the opposite end of the spectrum, where you've got metacognitive questions. And that's where you're really getting the student to reflect. And of course, like anything, it's a balance, because in our last webinar with our members, we were digging into this, and I was sharing how with one of my students, I was asking too many metacognitive questions in the lesson. Rather than that being a good thing, she was just like phasing out of it. It was just like, you were making me think way too hard, Sharon. So it's like anything, it's getting a balance. But it's been a really fascinating topic to dig into. And I think with this curiosity box, we've been giving teachers pathways so that they kind of can identify whereabouts they are on the journey. And then, you know, kind of they have different packages of things that they can go to.
Right.
What was interesting is that back in June, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago, we went to the University of York, you know, just going back to our research roots, if you like, and bringing the practical and the research together, because they had a great conference at the University of York. Where they have a whole instrumental MA on offer, and instrumental teaching MA. And of course, you know, being a research conference, it was quite researchy and had quite, you know, it was very, very interesting. And then we came along at the very end and we did a presentation on the advice monster, which was very practically based. And you could just, the whole audience just went, oh yes, we need all this. We want all this. It was It was just lovely, wasn't it? Yeah. See this, these research sort of come to life all of a sudden. So, yeah.
That's what I find teachers, they just want action. They want step by step as much as possible, getting them thinking, but really actionable strategies, and particularly from people who are in the trenches doing it and know that it works. Yeah. I think if you can capture that research, that's all really hard to understand and written in thick tomes and make it relevant. you've got it. No offense to your PhD, Sally, of course, it was fabulous.
My PhD is a beautiful read, I'll have you know. All 80,000 words of it, Tim.
I'm also a big believer in asking questions in lessons and really, and also one of the other things, I'm not sure if you guys feel the same, but I think teachers are often too quick to jump in and answer and help a student when they've asked them a question that's made them think, because we don't almost like seeing kids struggle, but it's actually when they struggle
that's the thinking.
They can really learn.
Do you know what the average wait time is for a question?
No, what is it?
0.9 of a second. That's in teaching generally.
Yeah, well, I've learned about this through classroom teaching. Isn't that? That's just unbelievable. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so getting comfortable letting your student struggle.
It's teenager, isn't it? I was just saying it's kind of fits that thing of you ask the question, you know, what key is that piece in? It's in G major, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And you do have to be aware of that in order to stop yourself from doing it. Even though it's uncomfortable sometimes, especially at the initial stages when our students are expecting us to answer if we have always done so.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but one of my other automatic things that I do is I'll say good or great when they finish playing something, even if it was terrible. Do you do that as well? Yeah. It's such a hard reflex to break.
It is. I've turned it round, sort of things like that, and I get the student to help me. So, and we did this with the advice monster, you know, every time I give a piece of advice and I have an actual sheet in front of me and they have a pen, and every time, and we have it make a point system. So every time I give a piece of advice, they get a point. And every time I give them feedback, I get a point. And whoever wins gets the chocolate at the end. You know? Oh, so nice. You could do the same for you. Every time I say good, the student gets a point.
Gets a point. I like it.
Now, a quick word from our sponsor, Sheet Music Plus. I'm sure you've heard of Sheet Music Plus. It's always one of the top search results when you're looking for sheet music because they have the world's largest collection. But did you know they also have a program to help piano teachers save money on their orders? The Easy Rebates program is exclusively for music teachers and gets you things like 8% cash back on all your orders. You can also earn 8% cash back on purchases by your students if you set up lists of music to buy. And I've done this in the past, and not only does it make the students or the parents' life easier, you also get that little benefit as well. There's also a $5 bonus when you refer a new member to the program, and it's completely free to join. Since Sheet Music Plus has over 1 million titles, including print and digital downloads, it's the best place to go when you have student requests or need something for an upcoming recital. So you should definitely take advantage of this free program. Go to sheetmusicplus.com/easyrebates, EASYREBATES, to find out more and sign up today.
As I mentioned before, you've released this new course recently. In fact, I think you've done it once before, but you can clear this up anyway. But it's about helping teachers pass their ABRSM diploma, I think. So how does it work? Give us the background.
Okay, so I start off, Sharon. It's an online course for both the DIP ABRSM and the ATCL, so the Associate of Trinity College London. So
right.
This is the second year that we've run it. It's an online course, although this particular year we have got a live element to it as well, in that we've got 3 live days because we recognise how important it is, actually, the live situation. You know, we had Curious Live back in February, and that really brought it home to us. Gosh, yes, live stuff really, really matters here. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing, the internet is great, but there's nothing like personal connection, is there, for getting everybody right. really fired up. Yeah. So what we've done is we've looked at the course, and we actually say it's a course for teaching for life. It's not just for a diploma. People can come and do their diplomas with it as well, and that's the ultimate aim. But actually, if they don't get there, they will find their teaching has transformed anyhow. And we know that that's the case, don't we, Sharon? Shall I hand over to you there?
Yeah. So this was, again, this is something that back with Evoco was something I was doing. I was, it was basically where you're taking a syllabus and looking at how you can help teachers achieve a qualification. Because it was something I was quite aware of, that sometimes teachers, they kind of feel that in order to be doing a course, they kind of will like to get something, I guess we all do, at the end of it. So if you're kind of doing something where you know that you're going to get an accredited diploma at the end of it, it's just so much more of an incentive. And even looking back to the reason that I did my postgraduate diploma and master's, yes, I was frustrated with my teaching and I did want solutions, but I was also really quite desperate for a piece of paper. Now, by the time I had finished my master's, you know, if someone had torn it up and kind of said, you know, actually you don't have it, it really wouldn't have mattered, because the value was actually in the skills that I had learned. I mean, I took on reflection, and that was such an important thing. So it's kind of, it's a way of also getting people on the bus, because of course, when you get them on the bus, they realize, actually, wow, this is not just about the piece of paper at the end. This is about every day, my everyday teaching, and how I can improve and develop, and how I can actually raise my levels of confidence. Because we all know that when we feel more confident in what we're doing, it's just such a more lovely place to be.
Right.
So again, the idea is where it's taking a syllabus and turning it into, again, almost like more like a curriculum. So Sally and I, back in 2016, took a couple of days just outside Dublin, and we kind of brainstormed the whole thing. We came up with 8 modules. The first 4 modules are, again, kind of in tandem. It doesn't matter whether students are doing the ATCL or the DIP ABRSM. They're kind of like the core modules. So the first module is looking at, you know, the core philosophy, and looking at kind of your own influences and how that's impacting on your own teaching. The second module is where you're looking at basically other people's teaching. You're going and you're observing lessons, not to be the kind of like the piano teacher inspector, but to kind of pull again ideas of going, oh, I love that idea. I can use that in my teaching. This can benefit me in that way. Because again, it's something that the research is showing that there isn't, as piano teachers, we don't observe piano lessons enough. And again, that's obviously something that we do quite a lot of curious piano teachers in the curiosity boxes, is again putting in those examples of where you're actually seeing good practice. And then you've got a case study, and then it's kind of looking at the whole broad spectrum of stuff. So that's kind of the kind of the core modules. And then it gets a lot more exam specific. So modules 5, 6, 7, and 8 is where it kind of divides. So if you're on the Trinity route, you kind of go with, again, a certain four modules, and then the other with the DIP ABRSM. But it's been very exciting. I mean, we did pilot it back a couple of years ago, and then we're running another course. So this is actually the students that we'll be intaking this September is going to be our third course.
Right.
We've kind of just marketed it a lot more this particular year. And the other thing we have done is we have created a Facebook group for people who want to find out more, because it is that thing of where you put out a brochure, but it's nice for people who are interested in finding out more. Again, just to kind of come onto a Facebook group, because we know that it's a great way we can share videos, people can get to know us as tutors on the course as well.
What's the Facebook group you've created?
So the Facebook group, again, we can give you a link to that, but basically it's a Facebook group that is, it's free for everyone. So again, all piano teachers can request to join this group, but it's where we have
what do they search for to be able to join up to
it? Yes, I was going to say it's something like the Curious Diploma Workshop group.
Okay, well we'll put a link in the show notes anyway. That's
nice and vague, isn't it? We should have had that name.
Find it. I mean, it sounds like a massive amount of work that you guys have put in to do this. But if going by the Australian exam board's equivalent is anything to go by, then you know, it is so important to have somebody, something to help you, because these, I don't know why the exam boards seem to make them so difficult, or just, I don't know, hard to follow along with. But it's the same here in Australia, and the AMUB put their hand up and said, yeah, it is really hard. And I think they know that it needs updating. A lot of these syllabuses are quite old too. Why don't you feel ABRSM and Trinity have done this themselves?
They are, we know for sure that they're the awarding bodies. So there is then naturally a bit of a problem if they are also running a course for something that they award the qualification for. So
right.
That's why it's more neutral ground to have someone else deliver
right.
the course of that sense.
Yeah. And so can people around the world join it, or is this really, I mean, I guess you've got the live component, so they couldn't join that, but can someone in Australia join this course?
Yeah, we've actually had someone, Donna on our pilot course, again, is from Australia. And I think the advantage is that both Trinity and the ABRSM have exam centres right across the world. And you've only got to go to those websites, and you realise that there are, you know, right across the US and Canada, the Far East, they have exam centres. So it doesn't really matter where you're based in the world, there is probably an exam centre which is kind of probably at the most a short flight away.
Right, yeah.
And the, I mean, this year we know we've got a couple of people who signed up from Singapore, for example. So definitely, you know, the live component is complimentary anyhow. You don't pay extra for that. You know, that is right. very much something that we have offered. And of course, if you want to make the commitment and come in, then that's just great, absolutely great. But we shall, you know, you will get full delivery of everything else, even if you can't make that.
Great. And so it's a year-long process, I think, September to June-ish?
15
a bit longer.
months. months.
A bit longer, okay. Yes. And what's the cost for a piano teacher?
Okay, so there are two different options. So there is a guided study option and a self-study option. So, for example, at the minute I have a couple of case studies waiting to be marked. So again, people who want us to, again, with the written work, they want us to read that and to give, again, feedback on that. That's an option. So cost is self-study, which is, again, if you just literally want the online content, but you're happy that you don't kind of have a tutor, which is right, either Sally or myself. You can pay for it in full, which is £1,500. Or there's also the option to pay for it in four installments. So that's £1,700. But again, it's split over. It's split kind up. Of, it's over the 15 months you've got, it's really well spread out. Guided study, again, because there is that that contact, it's where we're reading assignments, we're providing written feedback.
There it's coaching, really. Isn't
calls. It is, yes.
We are.
So for payment in full, it's £2,700. And then for four installments, it's £2,900. So it works out just that little bit more if you want to pay for installments. But
right,
we kind of feel that that just gives the right sort of balance for people who maybe want to just, they just, looking at a syllabus is not enough. They want a little bit more guidance. It means that they have got all the online videos, PDF, workbooks. They've also got access to the webinars. There's a Facebook group. So they get access to all of that.
And they're put into, we do have webinars for every single module, or several webinars for some of the longer modules. And obviously they're part of a bigger group who are doing it at the same time, so they can have buddies and partner, you know, people that they can talk to about things, and they can try their presentations out to each other, and they can record them and stuff like that. So there's a lot going on actually to keep them occupied. And we change the study groups as well, don't we, Sharon? So that, you know, we put them in study groups for each module, but each time the study group will change so that you get to work with a different set of people each time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like the guided option is truly a hand holding, arm around the shoulder kind of, we're there to help you, and the whole group is there to support you too. So, I mean, it's obviously a sizable investment for a teacher, but I guess it's about looking at it in the longer term perspective. Yes, there's a chunk of money right now, but what will that give you down the track? Both in prestige is the wrong word, but the qualification itself and how that looks to prospective parents, but also the long-term training benefits and that's the experience generally in your piano.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people sort of say, oh, well, you know, parents never asked to see a certificate or anything. Why should I do this, you know? And I think parents should be asking more, and I think it's probably up to us to try and get the parents to know what they should be asking for. So I think that's one thing. I think the whole profession should become, and I think it is becoming, more accountable through certification. I think that is definitely a trend we're going to see in the next 10 years, that people will have to start to make themselves accountable for their teaching, I think, as well. And I think it just gives you, the teacher, confidence and validity, you know, to stand up. We see all these conversations about parents, don't we? Oh, the parents are telling me this and the parents are telling me that. Parents loom large in all of our lives. And I think it gives you the confidence to actually say, okay, you know, I know what the best way forward is here. You know, let's discuss, but actually this is the way we're going to go, rather than just sort of give in to the parents all the time.
Oh, that's great. That confidence is just so, so important, particularly as a beginning teacher, but also more experienced teachers too, as things change, as they do.
So
where do people go to find out more about your diploma course?
I think the best thing that we're actually going to do is we're going to set up a link, which will be www.thecuriouspianoteachers.org/TimTopham podcast. That's a bit of a mouthful, but I know that you can put it in the show notes.
We will.
And it just means that we'll kind of put a few links, again, to, for example, that Facebook group, for people interested in finding out more about the diploma group. and where they can also have a read through then. The brochure will be there. And we did now, the enrollment did officially close on the 30th of June. All the applications have been processed, and we have actually just this week, we've been kind of getting back and getting contracts out to those people who have been successful.
Enrolled, yep.
But again, we have potentially have another couple of spaces on the course. So if there's anyone listening to this podcast and you kind of really want to get on it, because it starts 17th of September is the official start date of the course. So there's kind of what we give ourselves quite a space between kind of closing enrollment, the official enrollment, and getting started in the course. So if anyone has, you know, a really burning desire to get on this particular year's course, then they can email us at
piano.org. And I think that's a good tip. If you are interested in joining us this year, to email us, as Sharon said, on info@curiouspiano.org. And, you know, we can set up a conversation. We can have a Skype call with anybody who is interested, which is what we've done. We've had little consultation calls with people just to check that you're in the right place and that you've got the right time, and answer any questions that you have got. So I would urge you to do that as soon as possible if you're at all interested.
Fantastic.
And as well, I think, to get into the Facebook group, because although the next course will be starting, there are, I think we have about 200 people in that group at the minute, and there are some people who perhaps haven't met the requirements, because again, we've kind of put them in line with the prerequisites that have been set by the exam board. So for example, people need grade 8. Not all piano teachers who have been interested in this course currently have grade 8. And we know for sure that some of them are actually going and have said, okay, this is really, I really want to do this course. I really want to achieve this diploma, but I need to go and I need to achieve my grade 8 first of all. So again, we're going to be in the group and we're going to be helping and supporting people, just encouraging them, those who are on that journey over the next 12 months, to kind of, you know, just encourage them about getting on and getting anything that they need to get.
Sounds great. Well, good luck with it all. I hope it works out well, and I'm sure it will, because I know what you guys do is of the highest quality and so great for teachers. So thank you for putting it together too on behalf of the teachers around the world. I think it's a great innovation. Now, speaking of teaching, I've actually got to teach in about 9 minutes, so I'm going to start wrapping things up. Because I know it's 6 a.m. or something for you guys, but it's after school time here. So I did just want to mention as well your membership site. We've both got membership sites for piano teachers. I'm really interested to know what do you feel are the main benefits for teachers of a membership site versus just downloading a course here or there online? Because there's plenty of opportunity to do that as well.
I think the membership has far deeper benefits really for anybody who joins, either yours or ours, you know, because I think you get support from this community. We've already kind of mentioned this before, that you know that you're in a safe circle. You're in a circle, our community, you know, we nurture, don't we? And we look after you. And also you can hold yourself accountable in a very different kind of way. And I think I certainly get excited each month as we work through the different topics, and to have those discussions going on and know that you're not the only person working through those topics, I think, and, you know, to share common concerns and stuff like that. And I think also, you know, in a way, you know, we're both curating the best content that's out there and bring it to people. So you can get rid of a lot of the hours that you might have to spend otherwise, kind of trawling through rubbish to try and find, you know, the best of it. So I think our job is very much that we see that we are bringing the best to our members of our community. We are wanting them to move their teaching into a new place, because ultimately, really what this is all about is creating the musicians of the future. You know, it's the next generation of musicians that if we don't nurture them through their teachers, then who knows what's going to happen. And I think it's important. Music is important. Playing the piano is important. So that's what we help teachers to do. And you do as well, Tim.
And I think as well, it's the ongoing aspect. Again, of course, there is kind of an expected finish point. But with our online communities, it is where people get to come together, and it keeps going. Every month there is something new to learn, and obviously members can go back and dip into stuff as they please. But again, from Sally's research, it's known now that in order for there to be, you know, the catalyst for deep professional development is where it's ongoing. It's not sporadic. It's not just about going to a conference here and something else there and doing a short online course. It's not enough to actually see visible changes in our teaching. There needs to be that ongoing element. So again, that's, and I think as well, Sally, that was a big reason of why we did this, because we realized that there was a lack of ongoing professional development. It was all too sporadic. You know, that kind of where you come back from conferences and expo and you're in a complete high for the next 2 weeks, and then you're kind of like, you're back looking at the four walls again. And that can be a challenge for teachers.
It's so true.
It's where you've got that.
I can get some great idea from an amazing speaker, and then you go back to your old habits. It's too easy to do. Yeah.
So I'm glad Sharon mentioned that word catalyst, because I think that is one of the key things about these on our online offerings, is that they act as catalysts to help people move forward with their teaching.
Mm. And I think as well, just to maybe say in closing about the, Sally, maybe you want to say something about the four pillars. Because I think it's where, again, this ongoing element allows us to look at lots of different elements that we are needing to consider as piano teachers.
Yeah, because people tend to think about themselves as a piano teacher. And I think there are four pillars to that. You know, we are pianists, and that is probably the most important thing to be pianists and to be nurturing ourselves as pianists. Then there's our teaching skills. They're also important. But actually, before we're pianists, we're all musicians. So we have to develop our musical skills as well. And that's different from just developing pianist skills. And then, of course, you have to put your business hat on. So there are these four pillars, I think. And in the community, what we try and do is work on those four areas to a greater or lesser extent throughout the year. Hence this month we're doing something all about your website, which is clearly having your business hat on. Last month was all about your was about feedback. So there we were looking at the teaching thing. We're looking at pedaling, I think, with in October, you know. So there you go on to the piano bit. So there are all these different areas that we have to address, really.
And isn't it awesome to be able to stand on the sidelines and cheer teachers on as they make great progress?
Yeah.
Doing something they've never tried before. That's what gives me the biggest thrill.
It's when they write to you and they say, you know, I've just done this, and you go, oh, come on. You
exactly. know, yeah, change. Let's share that with everyone else too. Yeah.
Yeah. And my parents are really noticing the difference, you know, with the children wanting to practice at home, and that is a result.
Absolutely.
That's a definite result. Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, look, it's been absolutely wonderful to speak with you guys. I'm so glad we got worked out the times that would suit us both. Thanks a million for coming on the call today, particularly at 6 a.m. You're rock stars.
Well, thank you, Tim, for asking us.
Thank you.
We really, really loved it. And we do appreciate this. Yeah, it's great to talk to you again, actually.
Yeah, it's good.
So thank you.
We should do it more often. So to find out more about these two fabulous people, thecuriouspianoteachers.org. Have I got that right?
Yep, you have.
And you'll find all the links and things that we've been talking about today on the show notes. Until next time, I'll sign off. Thanks again, ladies, and speak to you soon.
Thanks, Tim. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Sally and Sharon today. And remember that if you like the thought of being cheered on from the sidelines while you set up and achieve all your studio teaching and business goals, then the Inner Circle community is there to support you. So I think the big takeaway from today is that if you are interested in getting your teaching diploma, the exam boards don't tend to provide that much help
They kind of put the assessment out there and you can achieve it if you want to, but you really need support from people. And so I think that's why Sharon and Sally have done such a great job in creating some kind of supportive material and group and community around teachers who would like to achieve these but don't really know where to get started. So definitely check out their resources. And if you're over here in Australia and interested in diploma courses, then do have a listen to some of my earlier podcasts when we actually focused on the AMEB diplomas and how you can achieve those here in Australia. It was great to spend time with New Zealand teachers this week in Auckland, and we're still working hard on our lead sheet course with the fantastic Forrest Kinney. Now, I don't know if you've actually heard about this yet. If you've been joining some of my Facebook Lives, you'll know that Forrest will be joining us. He is creating an absolutely comprehensive course about lead sheets for us and will be joining me on a live webinar at the end of this month. So next week, I'll give you some more information about exactly how you can get signed up for that, because I can tell you, he is a superstar. If you haven't come across Forrest Kinney's work before, give him a bit of a Google between now and when we next catch up and find out more about him and all the great resources he puts out. I can't wait to spend some time with him and share that with you on our webinar. So next week on the podcast, we're talking Instagram. And it's something that I've been asked a lot of questions about online. I obviously have an Instagram channel. Many of you listening probably do, but some of you probably don't know whether there's any point or why you should, or perhaps don't even really get what Instagram actually is. So if you have ever wondered whether it's worth spending time on Instagram, how it works, how to streamline processes and schedule posts, what works and what doesn't, and if you've generally wondered whether you can actually get more students through having an Instagram profile, then next week is the episode for you. I've got a very special guest on who knows all about this and we'll be unpacking it in detail. I'm Tim Topham and this is the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude this evening's entertainment.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. We'd love to help take your teaching to the next level as a member of our supportive community. Use the coupon PIANOPODCAST for $100 off an annual membership of Tim's Inner Circle today. To find out more, head to timtopham.com/community.